Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Friday on the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Pod Vader here. Sam and Rob will be coming up in just a few moments to give you the fantasy breakdown for this week. But I'm here to give you a quick recap on the Thursday night game, which was just horrible. Just horrible. The final score, 36-22, the Titans. But that score is very misleading as the Jags end up getting two garbage time touchdowns late in the fourth quarter to make it look, I mean, it's still a two touchdown game, but I mean, the Jaguars are just pathetic. What's interesting is superfan Ryan on our Wednesday podcast had said if Blake Bortles doesn't turn the ball over, then this team has a chance to win. Well, they didn't turn the ball over and they didn't even come close to winning. There's definitely seems to be a problem with the running game. There's problems all over the place. You hear Blake Bortles say things to Phil Sims. I heard this in the game last night, that he seems to have developed an elongated motion. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but when I break it down, when I hear one of my kids, and I'm, trust me, I am no great head coach. My team stinks this year, and it's basically because of the lack of coaching. But if one of the kids came up to me and said, hey, I'm developing bad habits, then I sit down and I work with that kid on his mechanics over and over and over again so we can get those bad habits out of his system. You know, when I hear things from Blake Bortles after the game, it's the same thing every game. We're just not, you know, we're just not communicating. We're not getting the game plan down. We're just not producing. To me, all of this sounds like coaching. And it's unfortunate to say, you know, Khan came out and said he's not firing his coach after this game. Arthur Arkish on the Wednesday podcast mentioned that this could perhaps be an opportunity for the Jaguars to do that, to sort of shake things up and make that change at this point. I mean, it definitely, to me, it does sound like it's a coaching issue in Jacksonville because they've got the talent, but they're not putting it all together there. So something has got to change, and I don't know what it's going to be. Meanwhile, the Titans, you know, ultimately the Titans weren't all that much better. It was just that they happened to find a team that's worse off than they are. They only managed one turnover. They finally got a recovered fumble, the last team in the league to finally recover an opponent's fumble. Happened on a muff punt. Again, I don't think either of these two teams are teams we're going to be talking about at the end of the season. The Titans at 4-4 are in the conversation for the AFC South, although ultimately, I do think as the second half of the season progresses, we're going to see the Colts and the Texans pull away from these two teams. But, you know, I had high hopes for Jacksonville. It's just not going to happen. If you had high hopes for Jacksonville, hopefully you didn't place any money at betdsi.com on the Jacksonville Jaguars either last night or, you know, perhaps for a future bet to win the Super Bowl, because that would be... that would be a shame. But you can do all of that, plus bet on many other sports. We've had a lot of fun looking at some of the other bets that are available at betdsi.com on a Thursday show. But it's the site that we use. You go to betdsi.com and you place your first deposit. You're going to get 100% bonus on that first deposit. Plus, if you use our promo code FANUP10, you're going to get an extra $10 on top of it. So, you know, go to betdsi.com to place all your wagers, whether it's in entertainment, whether it's in football, whether it's in the upcoming political election, hashtag none of the above. That's the site we use, and we hope it's the site that you use as well. And don't forget our promo code FANUP10, betdsi.com. All right, here's Rob and Sam with the daily fantasy advice.
Welcome back to the Next Fan Up Fantasy Podcast. I am joined with my co-host and second straight week of scoring 140 points, Bill Superfan Robert. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. I've been a little bit of a hot streak. I feel like I should just quit work, hang out at home, and invest all my money into gambling. I bet that would work out great for me.
Yeah. unfortunately, there are people much better than me out there this season. There's been some big fantasy news this week, and I thought we'd hit on a few of those topics and get to our teams. How does that sound?
Great. Let's do it.
I think the biggest disappointment in fantasy this season has been between two wide receivers, obviously Allen Robinson and DeAndre Hopkins. What's your read on those two situations? Outlook going forward, anything you have to say on those two?
The Jacksonville situation, I mean, it's just their offense just isn't working at all. It's all the same pieces, so it's kind of weird. Because last year they did well. But I think last year he kind of benefited from, I don't know the exact numbers, but they skewed so heavily in passing touchdowns to rushing touchdowns. You know, when he's the number one receiver there, so he's a big beneficiary of that. This year, you know, that's not the case. They're not scoring as many points. Bortles is having a down year. You know, and teams are obviously more aware of, you know, Robinson. I mean, when he came into the league, I think he was a third-round pick. It's not like he was, you know, a first-round guy that everyone knew about. You know, so now, you know, teams are aware he's the guy. So I feel like he kind of gets, you know, game planned on, you know, he's the guy they're going to game plan for. And the offense just in general isn't moving that well. The Houston situation I'm much more surprised about. Because he's done it with bad quarterbacks all, you know, kind of his whole career. Not that it's a long career, but I thought Osweiler was a little bit better than what they had, but apparently I was wrong. They have gotten the ball to Fuller a couple games, kind of taking advantage of the attention paid to Nuke. And they're also right now throwing to the tight ends a lot. I am surprised that this year he's just not kind of getting it. Maybe at some point those stats will turn around, but that's the one I'm more surprised about.
Yeah, I think you got it exactly right. But for some reason, based on no evidence at all, I think there's something deeper going on with both those situations that we're not hearing about yet. Mm-hmm. It's just such a precipitous drop. I can't imagine it being like assigned to anything on the field related. I don't know that for sure. There were some talks in Texans camp about them wanting to go away from DeAndre Hopkins towards Will Fuller because of contract or star attitude. I don't really understand it. But are you selling those guys low? Are you buying low? Are you staying away completely? What's your take on it? What are you doing in your full fantasy league to have either of these guys?
I think both guys are buy low candidates if you can get them. I mean, their owners are going to be frustrated. And, you know, who's more of a high upside guy than those two? I mean, you know, you've already seen that they can be top 10 wide receivers, you know, for a whole year. So if you can, you know, probably for me more so with Nuke, but I would, you know, reach out to their owners, try offering them. What are they going to do is say no, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, trying to, you know, buy low on someone that you believe in. I think both are talented and, you know, eventually talent just wins out.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little higher on Allen Robinson for his value than Hopkins. I just don't think that Texans team is very good, and I think their defense is good enough where they'll still be in games and like heavily lean on Lamar Miller. Moving on, a situation that you are intimately connected with me as well because I own him. What's with Shady McCoy? I think Bills fans and McCoy owners both agree that he should have sat out last week, rested that hamstring, and only exacerbated the issue, looks like. What's the situation? What do you want them to do? What do you see them doing? What's your McCoy Gillisley Bills running back breakdown?
I learned in the second fantasy football league I was ever in when I drafted Fred Taylor in the first round, the worst thing that you can ever see is questionable hamstring for a running back. It's so frustrating. What I want him to do is not play him. Let it heal to 100% because it's one of those things that you could tweak so easily. He in the Miami game, they played him. You know, they said he was 100%. And, you know, two-thirds into the game, he aggravated it a little bit. Now it's an issue this week. I don't think they're going to bite the bullet. I think Shady does play. I don't think he plays much. And I think that might be kind of a theme for the next couple weeks. I think that in this situation, what they should do is sit him Just bite the bullet, let him heal up, and then let him come back at 100%, because when he's 100%, he's one of the best backs in the league. Not only does it make his fantasy future murky, but I think Gillisley, who is kind of the guy you pick up if you're looking, you know, the handcuff guy, who has shown that he can play a little bit when he's given the opportunity, he's going to kind of, you know, lose value in this, because he might get a couple more carries a game, but not many, because they're going to try to still give the ball to McCoy. And since they know what he can do and he's healthy, they're just going to, you know, hope that that plan works out. It's not gonna, but that's what they're going to do.
Yeah. And from one injured running back to another, CJ Anderson confirmed he did not tear his ACL, but he will be missing a few weeks. Do you like Devontae Booker? I saw you throw out a name on our Slack group, Capri Bibbs. What's your take on that situation? I'm buying high on Booker right now. I think Denver's runs the ball a ton. CJ Anderson might come back, and then if he does well, the worst situation is that they split carries and neither of them become viable fantasy starters, or do they both do? What's your read on that situation?
I think that Booker, I mean, if you can somehow get him from an owner who just doesn't know what they're doing or something like that, get him. He is going to be a top 10 back. I mean, look at the teams that – I threw out the teams that they play in the next 6 weeks on the Slack group. But you got New Orleans in there, Oakland in there, San Diego in there. I mean, you're going to get opportunities to get points. And, you know, I mean, he's going to be the guy – I mean, last week they split carries. And, you know, Devontae Booker was actually the guy who got the one-yard touchdown run. So, I mean – It might already was working its way towards being a split situation. The name I picked up, I actually picked him up in a couple leagues, because a couple of the leagues I'm in are a little bit deeper, is Capri Biggs. He fits the system. He's going to be the number two guy. He's going to get a little bit of carries. I picked him up more so as a little bit of a lottery ticket, because if Devontae Booker kind of hurts himself a little bit or something happens with that, I feel that Biggs is going to come in and have a couple good games. The two leagues I picked him in were more so dynasty leagues, so it is a little bit of a stash, just kind of seeing how the running back situation plays out. But, you know, the big story here, if you can somehow get your hands on Devontae Booker, do it.
Yeah, I agree. Also, anecdotally, I do think that you see backup running backs come in a lot and also getting injured. I guess not used to the workload or something like that. So Capri Bibbs actually is a decent pickup for you guys out there. And now let's get to the main attraction. You listing the team that will destroy me this week. At quarterback, my hot take of the week, I'm going Carson Palmer. He's playing, I think, what is the worst or one of the worst defenses in Carolina, crazy to say. At 7,300, I think he was the 11th or 12th highest cost quarterback, so that's where I'm going this week. Who do you got?
All right, this week I'm going Matt Ryan. They're playing at home against Green Bay. I believe that Sam Shields is still out. I think it's going to be, you know, a fairly high scoring game. And you know, the way they're doing it in Atlanta, they're throwing the ball. One of their running backs, Coleman, is not going to play this week. So they'll still run it with Freeman, but I think they're going to do a little bit more passing this week. So I really like Matt Ryan, $8,500. So he's one of the higher quarterbacks, but I think 17 points easily obtainable this week.
All right. And why don't you go straight to your running backs? Who do you got?
All right. So my running backs are, you can almost say that I punted on both of these, but I think both of them give the opportunity to give me some good points. The first one I think is obvious, and I'm going to guess that you might have played him as well, Devontae Booker. They're at home against San Diego. What's that?
I didn't play him.
Oh. I mean, $5,600. And to me, he's a top 10 guy right away. He's going to get all those carries. He's going to get probably 85% of the carries. San Diego, you know, they're a good run D. I think people have a perception of San Diego's run D being bad because of the previous years. But that being said, there's just the opportunities and the cost. I mean, I need 11 points out of him. I think he's going to get it. The other running back that I'm going to play, also $5,600, is Matt Asiata, the running back from Minnesota. They're going to play Chicago, and he's in line to start. And if you'll remember, a couple years ago, Asiata, I think, had, was it 13 touchdowns? He's not going to get you a ton of yards, but he's got a nose for the end zone. And, I mean, for such a – he just has to hit a pretty low ceiling in order to get what I want. So, you know, I think I can get 11 points out of him, and it frees up a lot of money to spend elsewhere. So I'm going with him.
Okay, I mean, those make sense. I went with my first. I don't think he needs any explanation. I just went David Johnson last week in a 6-6 game. He ended up with 20 points. I think 20 is his floor, which is a crazy thing to say, but I don't really see him. He touches the ball close to 40 times on offense, so at any value, he's going to be playable. And the other guy I went with is Ty Montgomery. Same nice. Idea. He's just going to get a ton of touches. He's at 6,400. 13 points. He touches the ball a ton. He'll have 6 or 7 receptions. He'll run the ball 13 or 14 times. It's enough touches for somebody that well. At wide receiver, I'll just go straight into mine. I went Julio Jones, no explanation. I don't think Green Bay's great. I think Tevin Coleman being out, he gets more looks. I went Fitz. I'm just stacking those Arizona players against Carolina. Fitz and David Johnson get all the yards, so why not? And then my third one, I went Brandon Marshall against Cleveland. He's got his boy Fitzpatrick back in there. I expect him to at least catch one touchdown. 7,400, he'll probably hit his value. So who do you got playing at wide receiver for you?
All right, so we're going to match up on a receiver this week. I got Julio Jones because, yeah, I mean, that's my stack, obvious. Got to play him. The other receivers, I have Mike Evans going against Oakland for Tampa Bay. 7,900. He's had one game all year where he finished outside the top 15 wide receivers for the week. He's been putting up legit numbers, and Oakland's defense, not the greatest. So I think they're home, you know, with them being home, Oakland going West Coast to East Coast. I think that he could have a good game. And then lastly, I took AJ Green. They're playing against Washington. No Norman to cover him this week. It's going to be the early game, which kind of worries me a little bit because those tend to be a little bit more low scoring. It's at 9:30 London game. That being said, I think he's going to get in the end zone. I think he could put up – he seems to have put up big numbers against defenses he can exploit. This is one of them, $8,500. So I think it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Seems like those running backs allowed you to stack a wide receiver this week. Who do you have at tight end? I have Jack Doyle. I just think 4,900. Everybody on that team is injured but him. He'll get 9 points. Again, tight end is a position I've been bad on all year. Who do you have there?
Well, I have the exact same tight end. So Jack Doyle, I mean, I think it's a pretty – given the value, $4,900. That's the easiest play on the board. He's going to get you 10 points. I like him.
I agree. And kicker, I got Blair Walsh. My favorite case of a bottom offense playing a bottom defense. And I just think he's going to get his chance to kick field goals. And the defense I'm going against Houston, I'm just going to take the Lions.
All right. I had a couple extra bucks to spend, so I went with a good kicker. I went Adam Vinatieri. And the reason being is Indianapolis scores a lot of points, but they also had trouble running the ball down in the red zone. So he's going to get opportunities for PATs and field goals. He's the number one rated kicker this year so far. So I took him. And for defense, I took the Jets just because they're an attacking defense who may be playing a fourth string quarterback. They're playing Cleveland. I know it's on the road, and I know the Jets aren't the best, but I feel like there's opportunity there, so we'll see how it goes. You never know with defensive kickers.
Yeah. I played the Bills last week, and I got a commanding in one of my fantasy leagues, a negative 0.25, while I sat Seattle, who brought in 20. So, it was a rough season.
No, yeah. I hear you. I actually, in our league, I think I played Buffalo and sat Philadelphia. Philadelphia didn't have the greatest, you know, they didn't win, obviously, but they had a return. They had a couple turnovers, you know, and many more points with them. Buffalo did me over dirty this week.
Yeah, and I was a both ways, fantasy and real life.
Yeah, it's fun. This is the time of year where the Bills start to take away everyone's hope from the early good start, and we're going to be 4-6 in a couple weeks. It's going to be great.
Well, hopefully we get arrested McCoy and the rest of a fruitful fantasy season. All right, I'll speak to you.
All right,
there go Sam and Rob with this week's fantasy advice. If you've got questions for those two guys, or if you've got questions that you want to pose to any of us here on the Next Fan Up podcast, you can send those in nextfanup@gmail.com. You can always tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, you're not going to want to miss out on Sam and Rob's fantasy HAWT hot takes on our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. We got lots of things going on at the website, including each individual superfan's previews for the upcoming week. So you're going to want to go to nextfanup.wordpress.com to check those out. Our power rankings are there. And remember, our power rankings are actually making picks. So you can use those power rankings to maybe help supply you with some knowledge for wagers you're going to bet at betdsi.com. We hope you enjoyed today's show. There's some changes coming here in the next few weeks. I probably will not be involved with the Friday show for too much longer. It's just taking up way too much of my time, unfortunately. But Rob and Sam will still be here, and maybe we'll get a few other super fans involved as well. But hope you enjoyed everything that we've been doing for you. 5 days a week, subscribe on iTunes so you don't miss a show. Recaps coming for you again on Monday. In the meantime, I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.